So Psalm 46 was a great passage that Terry read, and this verse stood out to me because the camp that Rosemary and I just came from, CFO camp, they emphasize silence and meditation a lot. Be still and know that I am God. Today is a day of a lot of noise. There's machinery noise, there's broadcasts on the radio and TV and television and everything like that. There are people with their iPods got things in their ears, or they're constantly talking on the radio. You know, a lot of voices everywhere, talking on the cell phones and things. It's like voices, noise, our world is full of it. And sometimes modern noise is used to fill up the empty places in our hearts. Not with substance, but with sound only. And that's sad. When I was in doing postpartum nursing, I don't do it very much now, but I would see a lot of people sleeping, but with the TV on. It was at nighttime. I was a night nurse. And the TV would be on. I'd sneak over and turn the TV off. And the person would wake up. What are you doing? I said, the other person in the room, we need to turn the TV. He said, no, I can't sleep without the TV on. They had been babysit with the TV. They'd grown up in an environment where they were babysit with the TV. The TV was their best friend because they got to have it. They got to have it nearby them. And that's an amazing thing in our society. That's a very strange thing, but it's amazing that it happens. Noise to fill up the empty places. Well, what is the biblical response to that? Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 20 says, but the Lord is in His holy temple. Let all the earth be silent before Him. Silence is a great discipline. It's a thing that's always interests me. I don't say that I have a good practice. I don't have a good handle on it all the time. But I like to try to practice it, and I like to learn about it, and I like to study church history and how it came into play in church history. But what is it that we find in silence? Well, I believe this. I believe that even though we can't make the world stop all of its noise, what we can do is our holy silence can make a sanctuary where God alone is exalted, where God is lifted up, where we listen to God. Now, I'm going to read the verse again. And this is the verse 10 of chapter 46. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. What must we be still from? And what must we be still for? That's what I'm going to try to answer in this those questions in this message. Well, first of all, be still from murmuring. Or we could say verbal worrying. Verbal worrying or murmuring. Psalm 37, verse 7 says, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret when men succeed in their when they carry out their wicked schemes. Refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret. It leads only to evil. Do you ever find yourself trying to pray and what you end up doing is fretting, worrying before God instead of trusting before God? I find myself got all these worries and all of a sudden I'm trying to pray quietly and all of a sudden the worries start coming. What will I do about that? And what will I do about this? And how am I going to face that? And what are we doing? We're fretting before the Lord instead of facing before the Lord. We need to face before the Lord. When we get silent before God, we can remember who we're talking to in prayer. We're talking to the Almighty, who has all these things under His control. You know, that's really important for us to remember. He knows about these situations, and He's not interested so much in the situations. He's interested in us. He wants to think about us, and He's interested in what's happening in your life. So we need to get quiet before Him. And we need to get quiet so we can wait patiently. Wait patiently is what this verse says. Wait upon the Lord. Wait patiently for Him. Because He's a sovereign God. He's a king. He is in control of all these things. He knows how to deal with these problems, but he's going to do it on his schedule, not ours. That's a hard part for us, but we can learn about that schedule sometimes in quietness. We need to be quiet because if we don't be quiet, what will happen? We might be spreading an evil report. You know, sometimes we worry and sometimes we blame and sometimes we do it verbally. And then we spread an evil report. But we get quiet before God and we remember that He's a holy God. He is a holy God. And He wants our lives to be kept from evil. And not to use our mouths for verbal vengeance. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. Not to use our mouths to fret and worry or to blame. And what are we to be still for? We're to be still for meditation. Stop murmuring. Start meditating. Psalm 116, verse 7 says, "Be at rest once more, O my soul, for the Lord has been good to you. For you, O Lord, have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling, that I may walk before the Lord in the land of the living." I'm going to talk about all those kinds of things, but first of all, God wants us to get to know Him. He wants us to know Him not through book knowledge, but through life's journey as we walk with Him. He wants us to get intimate with Him. And we can use times of silence to refresh our memory about our salvation, about what He has done, the difference He has brought in our lives. Now, why I say about church history and silence is that early on in the church, the Desert Fathers around the year 300 and 400 and those years, they went out to the deserts, and these Desert Fathers practiced a lot of silence in their prayer time and silence and so on. And they have these stories about it. And one was a story of Arsenius. He was a Roman educator and a very loquacious, verbal man. And he gave up his status and he gave up his wealth for the solitude of the desert. And as he was praying, "Lord, lead me into the way of salvation," he heard a voice that said, "Be quiet then. Be silent." And that was important for him who talked so much. And then there was a famous abbot named Macarius, and or Brother Macarius, or Abbot Macarius, one of them, whatever they called him. And he once said to the other brothers out in the desert, he said, "Flee, brethren, flee." And one of the perplexed brothers said, "Well, how can we flee further than this, seeing that we're already in the desert?" Macarius placed his finger to his mouth and said, "Flee this. Leave this." You know, our mouths can get us into trouble. But God has delivered us. He's given us salvation so that, and this salvation is in the quietness, and so we're going to see more about that. It says, "He's delivered my soul from death." God gives us victory in the spiritual life. And He's delivered our eyes from tears. God gives us healing for life's hurts. And my feet, He's delivered my feet from stumbling. God gives us guides. He gives us guidance. He guides us on life's journey, life's pathway, so we won't stumble. And all of that comes as we get guidance and sometimes get healing. And sometimes we get victory in these times of quietness. We'll see more about that because salvation in Christ is a whole life journey. It's not just for Sunday. It's not just for our time of meditation. It's for all of life. And so silence should come into play in our lives while we're talking to other people. We've got to talk and then we've got to be quiet so that, and our mind not running, so that we can really listen and really hear. Silence can refresh us in our practical Christian walk, in our walking in the Christian life. It says in this verse I just read, walk before Him in the land of the living. God wants us to walk before Him in the land of the living. Silence can help us refocus our eyes on Jesus, who we want to follow. He said to follow me, but sometimes we don't see Him. And sometimes silence will help us to refocus our eyes and get us to see Jesus again so we can follow Him. So we want to get silent sometimes so that we can walk before the walk with the Lord and in the land of the living. Silence helps us to follow a living Savior. Not just words from Scripture, but to open our eyes and to listen and to follow a living Savior. He said to would-be disciples in Luke 9, he said, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God." I just preached those long messages on the kingdom of living and kingdom of God from the Sermon on the Mount. And that's what the Christian life is about. It's about life. It's not about death. It's about life. And so sometimes we get focused on things that pass, things that die. And we get worried about those things that die. And God wants to take our attention off the things that pass and focus on life. Focus on life. To be still from murmuring allows us to be the stillness that we need for meditation. But also, creating this sanctuary of silence helps us to live a sanctified life, a holy life, a life that's in favor with God. And part of that is to stop manipulating with our lips. Be still from manipulation with our lips. You know, sometimes we try to control the situation, but we need to be still. One of the things that God said to Moses as he was standing at the Red Sea facing all of the Pharaoh's army that was approaching, he said this: "The Lord will fight for you. You only need to be still." And a lot of times we have to be still so that God can work. And of course he did. He did. He spared the Israelites. Our tongues like to sometimes control things. And Richard Foster shared this from his book called Freedom of Simplicity. And he happens to be an evangelical Quaker. Here's what he said: "Silence frees us from the need to control others. One reason we can hardly bear to remain silent is that it makes us feel so helpless. We are accustomed to relying upon words to manage and control other people. A frantic stream of words flows from us in an attempt to straighten others out. We want so desperately for them to agree with us, to see things our way. We evaluate people, we judge people, condemn people, we devour people with our words. Silence is one of the deepest disciplines of the Spirit, simply because it puts a stopper on that. It stops that kind of stuff. Silence is a great blessing to us in helping us not to be always in control with our mouth. Sometimes we think our mouth controls up and those kinds of things have slipped out before we can even stop them. You know, it's like our mouth is in control. And we can't speak for God if we haven't listened to God, and we have to be quiet to listen to God. Sometimes we get too noisy and we don't hear God. And some people, Jeremiah said, "I didn't send these prophets. They haven't listened to me. They have run off with their message, and I speak to them, and yet they have prophesied." In other words, there are prophets out there talking about what they were supposed to, what the people wanted to hear, but they hadn't listened to God. We've got to listen to God first, and sometimes we need to get quiet so we can. One time, Elijah was running away from Jezebel, and his life was in danger, and he was all depressed. And God was trying to get him out of his depression. And it's amazing how God did it. Because it says this in 1 Kings. "The Lord said to Elijah, 'Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by.' A great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind there came an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper." A gentle whisper. That's where God's voice was. And that's where His presence was. In that gentle whisper, in this case especially. If we get captured by the world's noise, and sometimes it's very spectacular, sometimes it's very entrancing and enthralling. If we get captured by the world's noise, we can fail to hear the gentle, still, small voice that God is trying to get our attention. "Flee," said the brother in the desert. But he was pointing at his mouth. Sometimes our mouth is going, and we've got to stop it so that we can hear what God is saying. And the last thing I want to share is that stillness is for our maturity. How? Be still so that we can grow in our maturity with God. We never stop growing, and we never stop learning. No matter how old we are, we continue on growing. Quiet trust is the follow-up on salvation, and it's a lifelongness that we need. Isaiah 30 said, "This is what the Sovereign Lord, the Holy One of Israel, says, in repentance and rest is your salvation." You know, we talk a lot about repenting from our sins, but what about resting in our salvation? Being quiet and still. "In quietness and trust is your strength." We talk a lot about trust, but we need, and faith, but we need to be quiet too to have the strength that we need. Stillness is fertile ground for Christian growth and growing to know God. In quiet listening, we can hear God speaking, and sometimes we hear Him speaking in nature. We look out and see the beauty of nature, and God through animals sometimes, and through flowers, and sometimes through wind and weather, He speaks to us, and we need to listen when He does. In quiet listening, we can hear God speaking through the words of truth that pop into our mind. You know, I get these a lot, and I try to write them down, and it seems like they're popping into our mind out of the blue. They're coming from somewhere out of the blue, we say. Where's out of the blue? The blue is heaven, sky. You know, say, out of the blue, out of heaven. God wants to drop thoughts into our minds, and we need to be listening to hear them. And stillness is fertile ground for growth in knowing God by listening to the examples and the wise advice of others that God brings into our life. Because many times, they don't even have to have faith in God for God to use their words or their example. And we can learn from other people. And God wants to speak to us in the lives and the examples and sometimes the wisdom of other people. And as we listen, God communicates. He's faithful to do that. God is faithful to communicate to us. And He communicates to us about Himself. He communicates... And this is one thing that a guy named McGill, I think, is the guy that established McGill University. He said, "The more we receive in silent prayer, the more we can give in our active life." So it's not just about being quiet and not doing anything. It means about being quiet, and from that quietness, being active and bringing your behavior under the silence so that you're doing things in the world. And then another person that said something about this was about our duties in life. God speaks to us about our duties this way. Mother Teresa said this, "The more we receive in silent prayer, the more we can give in our active life." So silence is about activeness, being active in life. And silence enables us to grow in our obedience to God. As we obey Him, the silence will be easier to find. Here's what it says in Isaiah. "The fruit of righteousness will be peace." In other words, you live and obey God, then He will give you peace in order to that you can have these times of silence. "The fruit of righteousness will be peace, and the effect of righteousness will be quietness and confidence forever. My people will live in peaceful dwelling places, in secure homes, in undisturbed places of rest." God wants to bless us with silence. Our holy silence can be a sanctuary, can be a holy place where God is exalted, where God alone is listened to and obeyed. So let's try to take time to be silent every day so that we can be in His presence, listen to His voice, and follow Jesus. Let's pray. Father God, thank You for these words. There's so many words in Scripture about quietness and silence and listening to You. Lord, I just pray that our hearts will be open, that we'll not turn off Your voice just because there's so much noise around us. Lord, help us to take time to separate ourselves from the noise, find a quiet place, and begin to listen to you. And Lord, especially to listen to your words that says, follow me. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.